Have the eyes to see me. And that's what this text is about in John 9. And it's a miracle of faith that God gives. He wants people to see him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So we're in the final message of the summer series. I guess it fit, hey? Bless. And we're looking at a man who has a story that interacts with Jesus' story, and his life is changed and transformed in the here and now and forever. This man had a story. We all have a story. The way I like to say it is our little s story, we have a story, interacts with God's big S story in and through Jesus Christ. And our lives are changed and transformed forever. John chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "Nah, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "And how then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now on the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. And then they turned again to the blind man. "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He's a prophet." He still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "Well, we know he's our son," parents answered, "and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was only why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Father, help us to see. In Jesus' name, amen." You and I, our lives are full of moments of times when we do not see. They're full of pain and trials and storms, but they're also filled with joy and hope. John 9 shows how one man's story was transformed when it intersected with Jesus' story. And when Jesus enters our story, he gives us hope and a purpose and a testimony. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned about testimony and how we don't really share our testimonies so much anymore in church, especially, or with one another. We need to do that more. We will. This man's story was one of brokenness. From the very beginning, he was born blind. His story began with pain, limitation. And the disciples assumed his suffering must be due to sin. Here's what they asked: "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" One good thing, I guess we could say about this, about the disciples coming to Jesus, they knew where to go to ask the question when they didn't understand what was going on. They knew who to go to. So they asked Jesus. And Jesus said, well, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We're all broken. We live in a broken and a fallen world, sinful world. The way Paul calls it or says it, it's everything we have is common to man, to women. Rhonda and I are in the car traveling back from Canada where we were on vacation. Had a wonderful time. And we listened to a podcast that a friend of ours had said, you need to listen to this. It was on Family Life Today. And it was a guy that wrote a book about lament. And it was very touching and very moving. A lament is the word of God that gives voice to our pain and sorrow and the questions of life. I won't say his name, maybe at the end I'll say it, but Mark V, it starts with a V as in victory. He defines lament this way. Very simply, lament are prayers and pain that lead to trust. So when I say lament, one-third of the Psalms, there's 150 Psalms, so at least 50, one-third of the Psalms are of this genre type, lament. Is there another book of the Bible that has lament in it? Lamentations. That's what that book's about. Johnny Erickson Tada writes this concerning the pain of life and the questioning we go through in a trial or a storm. She first quotes Lamentations 3, 1 and 3, where it says, I am the man who has seen affliction. Surely against me God turns his hand again and again the whole day long. She wrote the introduction to his book. Johnny, as you know, is a quadriplegic and has gone through 50 years of trials and storms and pain. She thought about it. She read that again and again, that lamentation. She goes, this is her words now, this is a quote from her. I marveled, thinking, that's me. I was amazed to learn that God welcomes our laments. I would eventually learn, mainly through Lamentations and Psalms, that nothing is more freeing than knowing God understands. When we are in pain, God feels the sting in his chest. Our frustrations and questions do not fluster him. He knows all about them. He wrote the book on them. More astoundingly, he invites us to come and air our grievances before him. Lament, the Psalms, the laments are God's word, God's way of giving voice to our pain, our discomforts, our sorrows, our trials, the things we go through in life. Gives voice, and there's always in the lament, you'll hear it at the end in Psalm 13, I'll share with you. There's the listing of the complaints, not complaining, but the complaints, the things that are hard, the things that are tough. But there's always in that lament, that psalm, there's a turning back to God, and he gives us voice to what we're going through. And our brokenness is not the end of the story. In Jesus, even pain and weakness can become platforms for God's glory. We see in the story of the blind man, one who is changed by Jesus. Jesus heals in a surprising way. Grabs some mud and spits in it, makes it into a ball, and puts it on the guy's eyes. And then he tells him, he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, Jesus could have and has and did heal immediately. But for some reason, for this guy, maybe as a testimony, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he is obedient, and he does. He goes over and washes, comes back seeing. So his neighbors couldn't believe it. They're stunned. Wait a minute. Wasn't this the man that was begging all those days outside the city gate? He was not the same person anymore. And when Jesus steps into our story, things happen. Like they did for John Newton. In the 1700s, he was a slave trader, hard and cruel, far from God. His life was marked by sin and selfishness. He had little regard for the suffering of others. But one night during a violent storm at sea, Newton feared for his life and cried out to God. That moment became the turning point for him. Over time, as Jesus stepped into his story, Newton was transformed. He left the slave trade, became a pastor, even worked alongside William Wilberforce to fight against slavery in England. And out of his transformed life came one of the most famous hymns ever written. Amazing Grace. Newton often reflected on his past with these words. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I'm not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. When Jesus stepped into his story, everything changed, his heart, his purpose, even the legacy he left behind. When our story intersects with Jesus' story, things happen. Lives are transformed. The blind man's story, he faced opposition. The Pharisees opposed and doubted the miracle. They questioned God's ability to do that in the life of a man. They interrogated the man. They questioned his parents. They accused him. And that's the thing. God gave him a testimony of his grace. And that's the thing about us. You and I have a testimony. And here's the thing. No one can take the testimony away from you. No one can take that testimony of God's grace in your life away from you. It's your testimony. No one can steal that. And so we see the blind man's testifying to God's grace and mercy. The man didn't have all, he didn't have all the theological answers. He didn't know all the answers to all the questions that people had. But he had this. He had his testimony. One thing I do know, I don't know all that other stuff, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Our stories don't have to be complicated. They just need to point to the Jesus' power to do a miracle in our own lives, to help us see. We may not know all the answers, but you can say, here's what Jesus has done for me. That's your testimony. That's what Caitlin and the team are doing down in Mexico City. They're going, I was blind, but now I see. Here's how I see. They want to know. This is who Jesus is. He can do the same for you as he did for me. And we may ask, well, why did this certain thing happen in my life? Why did this thing happen? Why am I going through this right now? I don't know. That's an honest answer. It's a true answer. I don't know. You and I may never know. But in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the questioning, in the middle of the struggle, whatever it is, in the middle of that, is Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Because of that, we can go through what we are going through because of Jesus. Here's what Jesus does for us. He understands our suffering. He knows. He knows all about it. He wrote the book on it. He knows our suffering. Jesus experienced rejection. He experienced betrayal. He experienced physical pain. He experienced loneliness. He experienced grief because he walked through human sorrow. He understands and meets us with empathy. The writer to the Hebrews tells us this, for we do not know. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. You can bring him your tears, knowing that he has shed his own for you. And then he promises to walk with us in the pain. It's his promise to you, I will walk with you in the pain. Jesus doesn't promise a life free of suffering, no, but he promises his presence in the midst of it. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he's near. His presence gives strength to endure what we cannot bear alone. Jesus also brings healing and hope. On the cross, Jesus bore our deepest sorrow, sin and separation from God. So we would not carry it forever. Through his resurrection, he assures us that sorrow is not the end of the story. Joy will come. Joy will come. Joy comes in the morning. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. One day. In our pain, he brings glimpses of that hope now and a peace that surpasses understanding. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus redeems our suffering as well. In Christ, suffering is not wasted. He uses it to shape us, draw us closer to him, and even to minister to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Our pain, our trials, our sorrow can all become a testimony of his grace and faithfulness. When trials come, we wonder and ponder and question. Sometimes the answers come, other times they don't. The podcast I mentioned earlier was Family Life Today, was an interview with the author Mark Vrogop. That's why I didn't say it the first time. Vroegop. Vroegop. Mark Vrogop, he wrote a book entitled Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Discovering the Grace of Lament. He was a pastor, father, husband. His wife was pregnant with little Sylvia. She died in stillbirth. Mark says this. Although I didn't realize it at the time, Sylvia's stillbirth would be the beginning of my discovery of lament. The path of grief created an affection for the biblical language of sorrow that would extend into other areas of my life and pastoral ministry. My fearful prayer, please not this, was the beginning of a providential journey of learning to love lament and the grace that comes through it. Regardless of the circumstances in your life, this minor key song can help you. And then he says this. There's deep mercy under dark clouds when we discover the grace of lament. Because he was worried that his wife would be so distraught, and he wondered if she'd even have any kind of joy ever again. And so he went on a discovery to see what God had for him and for others. He said this also, that God is good and life is hard, and that they can coexist together. God is good and life is hard, and they can coexist with one another. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Amazing things can happen when our story interacts with Jesus' story. Now, these are someone else's words, but it is my testimony. I can say that it fits my life very closely. I'll read that and then we'll sing a song together. I grew up seeing the world one way, through my own eyes. I thought I understood what mattered, what would make me happy, and what would give me purpose. But the truth was, I was blind to God. I didn't realize how much I needed Him. Then Jesus stepped into my life. It wasn't in a dramatic flash of light, but little by little I began to see. I started to notice how empty life felt without Him and how much love He had for me, even when I wasn't looking for Him. Through His Word, His Spirit, and the people He placed around me, Jesus opened my eyes. I began to see my sin for what it was, not just mistakes, but a wall that separated me from God. And then I saw the cross for what it truly meant, that Jesus had taken my place, forgiven me, and given me new life. Following Him hasn't meant I have all the answers or that the road is easy. But it does mean I now walk with eyes open. I see His hand in my life. I see people differently. Not as obstacles or competitors, but as souls God loves. And I see hope where before there was only confusion. My story is simple. Once I was blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. And now by His grace, I follow Him. Let's pray. Jesus, open our eyes to see You today. Pray that for those that don't know You, God, would You work in their hearts and lives in such a way that You would speak directly into them and say, I need to decide today to follow Jesus. I don't know how that looks or what I need to do. You don't need to do anything. Just accept His grace and say yes to Jesus by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We ask the praise.